fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a wonderful, restful weekend opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day. I heard a good teaching the other day on the Lord's Day, the day of rest, you know, how important it is. And of course, our culture, which is no longer fundamentally a Christian culture, we used to value that Lord's Day. As a young boy growing up in the Midwest, in Minnesota, I remember on Sunday, pretty much everything was shut down and families would get together and there'd be just a very different day than the rest of the days in the week. And it was, of course, just obeying the commandment. The Lord's saying, you know, honor the Lord's Day. And so honoring the Lord's Day has been reduced to maybe going to church on Sunday for a percentage anyway. A large percentage of baptized Catholics don't go to church on any regular basis. So lots of people are violating the commandment. They're not living with the wisdom of God. The point of bringing it up wasn't just to say the obvious that lots of people aren't going to church, but to understand the value of the Lord's Day. The Christian worldview is understanding God's whole plan for creation. We are the head of God's creation. God has created us to not only work and to be active and use the talents God has given us, but he's also called us to rest and to be with him and to be refreshed by him. And we usually think about the Lord's Day, Sunday, as stopping from work, which that's true. Some of us can't do that because our jobs don't permit it. But I heard a wonderful talk where the pastor said recently, it's not only resting from work, but being able to, in that rest, be strengthened, be renewed by the Lord, be refreshed in the Spirit, and refreshed because why? Because we're remembering the bigger picture. The larger meaning of our life, our existence, is rooted in God and God's plan and purpose, and we can rest in him because we know we belong to him, and that our life now and our future is in the hands of God, and that we're more than just material beings that are at work, but we're actually embodied spirits as well, and we're made in the image and likeness of God and called to relationship with God and living in that relationship and connecting with God, and not only doing it individually, but doing it corporately, honoring the Lord on Sunday, celebrating Mass, being fed by the Lord, by his word, by sacrament, but also family, resting together, loving one another. We need that kind of time and that kind of space together. It's fundamentally refreshing. And if we don't have that, if it all gets eaten up by the perpetual commitment to sports and entertainment or other kinds of distractions, we forget the need we have. We forget essentially who we are and how we're made. It's going to come out sideways. We're going to burn out. We're going to lose touch with who we are because that Lord's Day always anchors us in the larger picture, causing us to see who we are. Who we are can only be understood in relationship to God, God's call in our life, the fact that God made us, we're made in the image and likeness of God. Where have we come from? Why are we here? Where we're going? The big questions are answered in particular, hopefully every Sunday. And we see the larger meaning of our life, which puts all our trials and our difficulties and responsibilities in perspective. And secondary and tertiary things don't become ultimate. We keep the ultimate things ultimate. We keep first things first and secondary things second and so on. So if we get the Lord's Day out of whack, everything gets out of whack, and we never end up getting the rest that we need, and therefore the work that we end up doing and really the relationships we have end up getting affected by it. So it's not so much stopping from work, but as this pastor said, it's working from rest. Let me say it again. It's working from the rest that we share with the Lord. He refreshes us, and we're called to work. We're made in part to labor, but that labor comes out of our relationship with God. It's not something that exists apart from our relationship with God, but it's something that flows out of that relationship and therefore is more fruitful. And we're more likely to put our hand to something in our work every day with an understanding that God is with us and therefore more effective in the situation and keeping the larger perspective even in our work situations, that human beings matter more than the practical things that we're doing, respecting our colleagues, treating people the way we want to be treated, all of that is going to work more effectively. We're going to be much more aware of it if we're working from rest. So it's worth thinking about. There's a lot to that Lord's Day. There's a lot to the day of rest in God's plan and wisdom, which is why God commands us to do it, because it's for our best interest, which God always has in mind because he loves us. So speaking of the Lord's Day, yesterday there was this powerful reading from 2 Peter chapter 3, where St. Peter gives us a picture of the final judgment. Here we are in Advent. This is why the church inserts the reading here on Sunday. We're working through Old Testament and New Testament and gospel readings that are related to this great season that we're in, the season of Advent, when we're all anticipating the coming of the Lord. And it's always an anticipation of both remembering, we're celebrating, we're anticipating a celebration at the end of Advent of the first coming of our Lord, of the incarnation, that the deed by God, the loving deed of the Lord that transformed and changed everything and gave us the possibility of living with God forever, the incarnation of our Lord. But we're also looking at the return of the Lord. It's a big part of the Advent season, and it's a matter of getting ready. It's remembering what's coming. What's coming is the final judgment, which Peter talks about here in very vivid terms. There's the personal judgment. If I die tomorrow, I need to be ready to meet the Lord and give an account of my life. I mean, the Christian lives with that kind of alert, sober, clear-headed expectation of meeting the Lord and making the most of the time that we're living in, because we know we're going to give an account to God for how we use the time, how we use the time, the talent, the treasure that he's given to us. So I want to read today what Peter had to say, talk a little bit about it, and then it'll roll over into tomorrow. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and following. He says, "But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." He takes that from Psalm 90, I think it's verse 4. He said, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is forbearing toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and the works that are upon it will be burned up. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of persons ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be kindled and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. But according to this promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." So there's a lot being said there, and Peter's addressing it in part because some people are confused. They were expecting an immediate return of the Lord. They were confused, and there were some false teachers teaching things from taking some of Paul's teaching and twisting it, making it difficult to understand. So Peter, being a good shepherd, is trying to clarify what he knows, what he's received from the Lord, and what he himself is teaching and wants to form in his communities. So we can walk through this just for a minute. So, "But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day." Peter, in referring to Psalm 90, is essentially saying that God's timing is not our timing, and that God doesn't measure time the way we do, and that all of this is in the hands of the Lord. We know for sure a day of judgment is coming. We know the nature, roughly the nature of it. We know the signs that lead up to it. We don't know the exact day nor the exact hour. Only God the Father knows that. He's giving it to the Son, who we know, though, that the return of the Lord will be the end of human history when Jesus comes again. And part of what's going to happen in that overall series of events in the return of the Lord before a new heaven and a new earth comes to be, that Jesus himself brings it about, is the burning away of all that we know. The whole cosmos, literally, is going to be burned up by fire, according to St. Peter. Verse 9, "The Lord is not slow about his promise." Some people are wondering, why is God himself distracted? He's not slow in fulfilling his promises. But what's happening is God is being patient and forbearing toward us. He wants the world to repent. He wants those he has made, men and women he has created and called into being, who are called into being to serve him, to love him, to get their relationships right with God before the day of judgment, before their personal judgment, or before the day of the final judgment. He says, "not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." This is God's desire, that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, here's one of the passages, one of the two or three passages in the New Testament that lead some people to want to conclude that what Peter is saying or what Paul is saying in 1 Timothy, I believe it is, that God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, that all will be saved because what God desires is what happens. That's not what the passages are saying, because there's many more passages in the words of Jesus himself that talk regularly about the fact that there's going to be a separation between sheep and goats, that there's a narrow way, there's a wide way, and that we have to take very seriously our journey here because hell is a real possibility, as St. John Paul II told us, echoing the teaching of Scripture, echoing the teaching of the Catechism. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire. So the return of the Lord will come like a thief. That comes right from the words of Jesus himself. He said, when he comes again, it's going to be like it was in Noah's time, when lots of people just ignored God. They just didn't pay attention any longer. And so Noah was building an ark, anticipating the flood. He was preparing. And his preparation looked stupid. It looked foolish to the people who were around him, so much so that they mocked him. But he turned out to be the one who was living in wisdom, and everybody else who was pursuing the things of time, forgetting the things of eternity, focusing all their energy on this world only and the pleasures and their purposes in this world, they end up the fool because they ignore God. The Psalms tell us, the Scripture tell us, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. You don't have to say it, but to ignore God or to be indifferent toward God, to live that way, to live a pattern of life in such a way that it communicates that you don't either believe God exists or you're indifferent to God's existence, that's the definition of foolishness. That's what we see so much in our world today. Paul is talking about God preparing us through his own word throughout the teaching of the Old Testament, the teaching of Jesus himself. Now, Peter is teaching that what God is doing and why the Lord is waiting patiently is he desires for us to wake up and to repent. And part of what happens in human history, God takes action and he judges his people as he judged whole nations in the Old Testament. He judges his church. Jesus himself talked about the judgment that was going to come on Jerusalem because it rejected him, and his words came true within, was it 70 years or less than that, of his prophesying what would happen to the destruction of Jerusalem. It was destroyed. So we're living in a time, I believe, as I mentioned over the last couple of weeks, we're living in a time of judgment. God's judgment, his loving, merciful discipline, and his judgment is coming upon the world. You can see the signs of it in how many people who are living in darkness, who are living hypocritical lives, who are saying yes to sin and are pursuing idols, are being exposed and it's being brought into the light. Judgment began with God's own household over the last few decades, and the sins of the church were so dramatically revealed to the world. And most of the world laughed at the church and said, here's the reason why we should ignore God. But guess what? Judgment begins with God's own household, and judgment is now upon the world. And it's just beginning, and it's going to intensify. This is a time that prefigures the final judgment. This is the kind of thing that God does because he doesn't want anyone to perish, because he wants all to come, as Peter says, to repentance. God bless you, friends. I hope you can tune in tomorrow.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.